The theme that has become very common is with all of these character types is the control element and the control tactics, somewhat openly done and enforced. And as per our conversation, as we talked about last time, some people are openly what I say goals in that sort of sense, where sisters were openly asked for control and had control. And there's others who did it covertly through the kids. And then obviously when these relationships come to an end, there's almost this like, how dare you end this?
Hey man, what's up?
Hey, Salaam alaikum. What's happening, man?
Salam. Good to
Welcome
see
to
you, man.
England.
Oh, I'm loving the
Welcome
t-shirt.
to England. Yeah, that's it, mate. T-shirts are here.
Excellent.
Getting it out there, that's it, man.
Oh, that's
Campaigns moving
awesome.
forward.
Thank you. Yeah, England is England. Yeah, it's, you know,
How you finding it?
man, it's been good weather, actually. It's been good
Yeah.
weather. Only today it rained a bit, but I don't mind a bit of rain, man. But it's been nice, cool weather. You know what I mean? So, man, it's really good.
You've timed it well because it was really hot before a couple of days ago. It was like it's been really hot. It's just cooled down now, which is good to
Oh,
be, but
wow. That's cool, man.
pretty
Yeah, they
hot,
were
yeah.
mentioning that some heat wave coming through, and I'm like, are you serious? England has heat wave.
Yeah, man, it's had a few heat waves. Last year was really hot here, 35, 38 degrees. It was horrible.
Oh,
It's all
wow.
right. Listen, the heat is all right in little phases, yeah, but when
Yeah.
you've got uncontrollable heat, yeah, you can't sleep. There's no air con. Like in America, I presume there's
Yeah,
more air
yeah.
con. Bro, you ain't guess it's England, bro. They've never had an air con issue. Domestic homes don't have air con here. You know what I mean?
It's
People are
fans,
now
isn't it? Even the
Jets
fans are
fans.
wearing out heat.
Mate, but with that heat, yeah, you're just blowing heat on your face. It's pointless. Like it's like an oven. You know what I mean?
Directing it towards you.
Yeah, mate. Trust me. So I'm not looking forward to the heat myself. But you know,
Yeah,
I'm not in a place where I can be fussy or worry about air con now. I mean, I'm homeless, bro. I can't really worry
yeah.
about these luxuries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At least your van has air con, right?
No, I'll tell you what happened. Yeah, just when this heat wave started about 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, yeah.
Yeah.
The first day of that heat wave, my aircon stopped working.
Oh my
You think, flipping, eh, man? You know, like, you know, when you think, I don't need this. Why me? Why is this
Isn't
happening to me? Like, everything's just going wrong.
it?
You know what I mean? So, you
Yeah.
know, you think things can't get worse, yeah? And then bang, like, something like this happens, and you think, like, damn.
The aircon things, don't they normally have these things that you need refilling or something?
I think that's what I'm hoping it all it is needs gas, needs recharging in the van. But the
Yeah.
van's only 3 years old, yeah?
Yeah, it should be
So, you
that,
know,
inshallah.
it should have been running a lot longer before, you know. So they said it might be a leak, I don't know, and it's under warranty, so I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can sort it without us under warranty, do you know
Yeah.
what
See, in the UK, you hardly use it. So when you use it, it's like your car's confused. Like, are you sure you need
mean?
this on?
Yeah, mate. Tell me about it. It's just like, you know, everyone's got something. So with the car I've noticed over the years, yeah. There's two or three things I can never get right. My wipers are always dodgy somehow. Yeah, they never wipe clearly. And when there's a smudge, right, it's right across my eye line when I'm
Yeah,
driving, right? Yeah,
your vision.
never get. I just can't understand why is that. The aircon issue is never sort of like just permanently okay, right? And then before the other issue in the other van is there's one lamp out or other at any given time. Like, why can't everything just be all right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, but this van's been good. It's only 3 years old, so and lucky I got it, mate. Lucky I got the van. You know what I mean? It's kept me going that van, so you know.
I remember once I got stopped by the police, right? And you know, he goes, yeah, pull over. And he goes, do you know why I stopped you? Right? They always ask me that. And I'm like, not really. just, I'm thinking, got my license up today, got my tax, whatever. And he goes, oh, it's your back light, one of your lights, your bulbs are out. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't know because it's back
Yeah,
there.
how would you know that? Yeah,
I
you
don't
need
have
someone to
mirrors
tell
for
you.
my.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? And my car, back then, it wasn't smart enough to say, hey, you've got a light out, fix it.
the old school. Yeah,
Like,
you didn't have this
almost
little.
don't give me a ticket.
Now you
He
get a
actually
dash
took
lamp.
pity
Yeah,
on
that
me,
tells
though.
you. Yeah, but was that in the US or here?
No, it was in the UK many, many moons ago, but it was just so funny. And he actually let me off.
Yeah.
He let me go, which was really nice of him. And
Yeah, mate, car troubles.
I got pulled over in America, actually. my first couple of years there, and it was a state, you know, like a state trooper.
Yeah,
And,
yeah.
you know, they don't have much of a reputation, but I thought, nah, you know what? I'm just gonna kind of keep my cool. You know, I've not done anything wrong. I gave him all my paperwork. And then guess what happens, right? He looks at my registration, because over there you gotta do this yearly registration. And that's you pay, it's like a tax, and then it covers you for the year. And that had just literally expired a few weeks ago. And he goes, oh, it's expired. I'm going to have to give you a citation. It's just like a ticket. It's a fine. And I said, look, I'm genuinely telling you that I forgot to check that paperwork. Normally I get notified, but for some reason I didn't. And that obviously, because of that, I didn't do it. So he goes, you know, I can take your car off you right now. I can impound it, but I'm not going to do that, you know, but it's your risk to drive it home. I'm just saying. And anyway, he goes, I'm still going to have to give you a ticket, right? So then he goes back to his car, right? And I'm sat there praying Ayatul Kursi, you know, like, please, you know.
Start doing zikr, yeah. He's starting to do zikr, yeah.
And then Fancy suddenly, it. Seriously, out of nowhere, he comes running back. He goes, I have to attend to an emergency. And he gave my driver's license and he goes, it's your lucky day. Get out of here. I was like, yes.
Result, that's it.
Oh my God.
Alhamdulillah, so I prayed, Alhamdulillah.
I'm telling you, man, it's like, that was my day. I was so blessed, man. But then I was like, right, I need to keep on top of this paperwork, man.
No.
Anyway, let's get to it, man. Let's get to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, let's get the show on the road, I suppose. Yeah, the thing is, I spoke to a guy this morning and I spoke to a guy the other day. And
all right.
One thing, like I said, the theme, and obviously after our last conversation as well, and all the other fathers that I speak to that are going through this now, yeah?
Yeah.
The theme that has become very common is, with all of these character types, is the control element and the control tactics.
Yeah.
Somewhat openly done and enforced, and as per our conversation, as we talked about last time, some people are openly, what I say goes, in that sort of sense, where sisters were openly asked for control and had control.
Right.
And there's others who did it covertly through the kids. And then obviously when these relationships come to an end, there's almost this like, how dare you end this? Hence the control tactics, if they were not already using the children during the relationship,
right?
That just now, how can I put it? That's the ending of the relationship is just a catalyst to say, right now, full control, no mercy. And the kid was always a pawn, but it's now fully used to its full extent.
Yeah.
But it all comes back down to control, right? And the same pattern with all the fathers I speak to, all the case studies that I'm looking into now, the control tactics are the same.
Yeah.
They're all applied different methods. They're applied differently, but the objective is the same as the control. The perpetrator enforcing the control, their family are supporting the perpetrator 9 out of 10 times. They will go to lengths to cover up for the perpetrator.
Yes.
So I think there's a lot to dissect there already.
Yeah.
If we can put some meat on the bones around that, and get that information out there just with a friendly exchange, I think it'd be good, and just so that those watching can, those in it, know and see the red flags and understand that, yes, this ain't normal behavior. If you feel controlled, if you feel like a passenger in your own life, you feel like you have no real say in your kid's life and you're in the relationship and you've conceded to the fact that, oh, well, Mrs. won't like it if I do this.
Yeah.
You got to know that this ain't right and it ain't normal. And it comes back down to that control element.
Yeah.
And the pattern, like I said, a lot of people speak after our last conversation, all the other conversations I've had, all the other studies done, all the other clients that I speak to, again, it's that. And that control comes from what I believe is, especially in our community, it's the second generational trauma, their upbringing, what they were exposed to as a community and a culture. And it goes back down to this now. I'll even put the genders in there right here.
Yeah.
So even men suffer from second generational trauma, but men appear to deal with it better.
Yeah.
Men seem to how can I put it, use it as a springboard to get away from it and do better and not fall into those traps, where with the women, it plays out in their relationships, and this trauma is then latched onto the partner. It plays out in the relationship and the husband, and it plays out, and that's why these relationships are ending, I believe, because of that second generational trauma that is not dealt with a proper therapist or a psychologist. Do you see what I'm saying? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. There is an element of trauma there. And I think also it triggers from, like, maybe it could be like a bereavement. It could be something, let's say if they've lost a parent or parents, or, someone...
Single-parent homes. Well, let's put it another way. It could be from a single-parent home as well, which we know the studies have shown. But I would say it's more from, say, like, I keep mentioning this specific point here.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, look, 20, 30 years ago, cross cultures and community, it was very normal to argue in front of your kids. The knowledge, information wasn't there. The studies weren't there. As time has progressed and parenting has evolved and societies have evolved, studies have then said, look, it's not healthy for a child to witness their parents arguing. It's right. Not good to argue in front of a child. But my point is, 20, 30 years when we were kids, it was very normal. Are you with me? Especially in our community, no one cared. Like, especially in our community, it was cross community.
Shoes will be flying.
yeah. Be like, what? Why are you listening? Smack. We don't need to listen. You should be listening, shouldn't you? But my point is, that was deemed as normal.
Yeah.
Times across cross cultures and communities, yeah?
Yeah.
So as time has progressed now, they're saying that has a damaging effect on the child. Yeah. So then if you add our cultural issues, and as in when daughters saw their mums working at their in-laws and, mum always at home and mum ran the house and all of these things, mum and dad arguing, immigrant community, money was always tight, arguments around money, cultural sort of traditions that we did and followed, which were normal for the day, I'm saying, right? For that day and age, it was normal. But looking at it now, growing up, watching that, and then now when you're getting married or getting into your relationships, I think a lot of sisters are coming in with this pre-programming, because look, you revert back to the programming you had when you grew up. So when they're coming into these relationships, they want to take control because they're thinking, I don't want to be that daughter-in-law that's forced to work or cook or clean and this and that. Combined with that, the time period we're in where the gender wars are playing out in politics, feminism as a cult has infected all communities, and it's infected our community as well. So combine all of these factors, and that's why we're here. I think that's what I'm thinking.
I would say definitely that's true, and I think you mentioned about upbringing, so I want to mention something about that. Now, in like a typical scenario, you look at maybe 15, 20 years ago, they're exploring the world, they're going to college, so after school, you've got college, etc. It purely depends on the parents, whether they are strict or not. But what happens is that person, whether it's a male or female, they kind of grow into this new environment. Now, depending on that environment also, because that, I think the crucial time is when, let's say, they've found their feet in college, they've made new friends, etc., and then they're getting influenced by certain things. And, also, like, let's say, like they say, show me your friends and I'll show you.
I'll see who you are. Yeah.
So, like when you have certain friends who feed things into you, like, listen, you're going to have a man, you need to make sure that you've got them, under the.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And all these things take place. And then what they do is they keep this defense up. Right. Mm. And I believe that didn't happen to me. I don't think anyone has ever said that, but I think from whenever these conversations take place in college, I wish someone said to me, you need to look out for red flags in certain women. Had I known that, I would have, like, basically probably made a better decision. But when you're young, when you're naive, when you are starting out I feel like there's certain women who take advantage of that. So, you know, they look for this kind-hearted person and, you know, they put aside all their, whatever their past, you know, whatever they've gone through, and then they take advantage of that person. And then before you know it, that person is in too deep and they're thinking, where am I? And then before you know it, it's like, okay, well, maybe I am at that age where I need to get married. So you think, okay, you know what? Everyone else is doing it. I might as well do it. You know, maybe there's a good thing.
Yes,
but this is what happens.
The pressure.
Right?
The pressure from the environment.
So that's the kind of angle that I'm kind of coming from, because, and the other thing is as well, there's this thing, it's like a, let's say you go out on social activities and stuff and you're a married couple and, you know, they'll always try and figure out who's the boss. Who's the boss in this? Like, who wears the pants, right?
Who's right? Yeah, who's in charge? Right?
So, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, like some people would say, oh, well, you know, normally it should be the guy. He should be wearing the pants and whatever. But then, oh, he's actually a nice guy. He's all right. He's a stand-up man, you know. But
you see his weakness,
exactly. So now that person, he's being fed all this stuff. And then on the flip side, you've got this woman who's like, listen, I run the show, right? You know, just letting you know that, you know what I'm saying? And not all women are like that. Don't get me wrong. You know, they're
100%, obviously.
There are nice women out there. They are understandable. And again, it's all about that environment. What did they have a college life? Did they have male friends? Did they have female friends? Did they have a mixture? You know, was it allowed by their parents? Did their parents even know what they were getting up to in college? You know, and that's the other thing. So it is, I feel like the influence and the environment is definitely a big factor, especially when that person is ready to take the next step in life, as in to get married. They're going to bring all that stuff, that all their experiences into the new life.
But do you think, right, do you think there was an attempted effort to, how can I put it, so not lie, but just convenient with the truth? Are you with me? So was it just convenient not to talk about these things at that stage?
Right.
Everyone's in on the cover up. Mom, dad's, oh yeah, our daughter's lovely. Yeah, we've, you know, taught her, trained her. She's very on
none
Dean
of that,
and all
none
of this.
Of that mentioned. But these,
so that's what I'm saying. They played the game. They all played the game, innit? It's the cultural thing to do is everyone stay quiet, just get it over the line, and then we've done our bit. That's our job done. Is it?
They'll
was it
calm
a bit
down
louder?
When they're quiet. They look.
Yeah, yeah.
Calm down when married,
once,
right?
Yeah, and when you get married, they got problems. Oh, it'll be all right once they have a kid. Yeah, once they have a kid, they'll be all right suddenly.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, you know the old. You know the game,
if
basically.
You've got toxic traits in you. You've got them. It's very difficult to get them out. And if you've got this mindset where, listen, no, you can't tell me what to do. No one can tell me what to do. And also there's a deen aspect of it as well, which is important. If they don't fear Allah, they don't have that deen and understanding about what their role is as a wife and what the role is of a husband. If they are not, you know, like nowadays, you can take premarital courses. Those are really important, especially from an Islamic perspective. So both of you know where you stand, because a lot of things are changing now, you know, nowadays.
Yeah,
roles are changing, you know?
Oh, definitely, man. The world's changing. Yeah, I know. The world's changing at a very rapid rate. See, the other thing is this. I wanted to sort of touch on that, and what studies have shown that. So like you said, you're young, you're getting married, you're a nice guy, but women are more sharper and more, they mature quicker. So even though, say, you've got similar life experience and whatnot, when you enter the relationship, that emotional maturity and the shrewd mentality of, right, have I got, who's in charge, who's not, where, women will get, they have that more naturally. Do you see what I'm saying? So, right, what do I need to do? So, for example, when you said you go out with friends and stuff, the women are talking to each other in a different way. Do you see what I'm saying? Like if the men were there, they would talk very differently. So when they're talking to each other, it'll be like, yeah, I've got this under control. I'm running the ship here like this. Some do it openly. Some do it covertly. Some look like they're not in charge, but they use the soft tactics, I call it, for control. But the outcome is the same, is to try and control you in some way or the other, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's like, let them feel like they're a man. Let them fulfill the roles of paying the bills. That's convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You got to provide everything. You got to pay for everything.
Sure that,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I feel like it's double standards, because on one side you've got, okay, you know what? Here's the Islam card. As your wife, you owe me this, this, and this. You have to give me this, and you got to pay for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we get it.
Prevalent, yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to use that card, you know, also, whenever it comes to a point of, okay, you know what, you know, making a life decision, or, you know, ultimately, if something happens where a marriage breaks down, where's that Islam card then? Where is it?
No. See, it's I've not noticed there, that in the community, right, yeah, there's one thing that has now been consistent, right, yeah,
yeah,
across the board, or everyone I speak to, even the sisters that I speak to, everyone seems to, when it comes to that, yeah,
yeah,
they all come out of the Islamic angle when it comes to that. So yeah. When I said, yeah, but sister, you work, you don't exactly wear niqab, you're into the world, you're doing, if you're going to go down the Islamic card, then you, especially when it comes to this, you want to follow Islam, yeah? I said, Islamically, a brother can turn and say he can go get a second wife Islamically. There's nothing you can say. There's many other factors that you could say you shouldn't be working. Then maybe you could argue you shouldn't be going without your mahram and all of this.
Yeah.
But my point is, Islam seems to only apply. Every sister that you speak to, unfortunately, if even if they don't follow any other part of Islam, when it comes to that,
yeah,
they know exactly that part of Islam. It's just bizarre, isn't it? Is that just convenient? Funny that, isn't it?
It is, man. It's
when it comes to receiving, honestly, everyone knows Islam.
You
when it comes to sacrificing, no one wants to know
Islam, right? You can't do that. That's making a mockery of the religion, because it's like, okay, you know what? And this is what really baffled me, because, you know, you think about this in a scenario where two people, you know, they're Muslims, right? I'm going to say in air words, and they live together. Something happens. There's a breakup. And, you know, suddenly it's like the whole life is turned upside down. Mm. But whenever it comes to speaking to the parents, you know, of each side, no communication, right? And then it comes to talking to the mosques, maybe set up a meeting, nothing. Mm. Okay, mm. If not that, let's see if we can maybe mediate through a Sharia council. No, not happening. Every door gets shut.
Yes, yes.
What these guys do, especially the parents, or, you know, on either side, they basically close their doors and, you know, shut their curtains, because they think, well, it's a civil kind of UK court matter, and we don't want to tread on their toes. But it's like, hang on a minute, you know, like, you know, I don't understand. You know, whenever there's a court case, either way, in order for it not to proceed, you can settle. Why allow ourselves to settle in court before the judge settles for us, instead of, why can't we do it outside of court? Why not?
Okay, for that. Outside? Okay, so okay, right? Look, I'll put it another way here. Then
yeah,
that the thing is this: look, it comes down to two things. Firstly, the two involved in the situation, yeah, the couple involved.
Yeah,
if they are civil and amicable, and generally, with anything like this, it is a very small percentage that go straight into co-parenting and being civil, yeah? 9 out of 10 times, it gets ugly, unfortunately, yeah? So then you think, let the grown-ups step in. We have a community, we have a structure and a framework, mosques, religious leaders and whatnot, yeah? So you presume anyway, yeah? Until this happens and you realize it's all an illusion, it doesn't exist, yeah? So if the parents, how can I put it? If the parents haven't had experience with these situations and dealings, yeah, both sets of parents tend to avoid each other, I've noticed, because they find it awkward. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, they're slightly buried their head in the sand thinking it'll work out, yeah. But if they don't have that character to challenge this and deal with this head on, no embarrassment, and take charge of it, and then obviously that's the other issue. And then also, unfortunately, in our community, as you know, when it comes to something like this, right, wrong, Islam is slightly sidestepped. What it says in Quran, Hadith, Sharia, all of this, completely sidestepped. Yeah. People just pull for their own. however you look at it, however crazy it is, and we've seen it.
Yeah.
And these are practicing people as well. So hence, the couple are left to just fight it out. And the law, if you look at the backstop of the law and the position,
yeah,
the law has armed them with all the weapons and tools they need to destroy, unfortunately, fathers in most cases.
Yeah.
But then they just take the nuclear option because it's encouraged and it's there and it's financially incentivized and rewarded. And as like you said, in UK law, I don't know if you're aware, in UK law, in the Children Act, it's categorically written, a father has no rights in UK. Father's rights abolished in the Children's Act in 1980-something. I can't remember exactly, yeah. But a father-in-law has absolutely no rights whatsoever. Mother has automatic rights. A child has a right to have both parents in their life. But a father in itself, on its own, has absolutely no rights in the UK law, period. And the thing is, right, the other thing I want to mention is this year, I was looking at what's going on in France, these riots and this and that, and even before these riots, yeah, where they shot that boy, there's riots going on regarding pension age and retirement age and all of this year. They're kicking off on all of this. I'm thinking, in law it's written here, father has no rights.
Yeah.
All the stuff that's going on with CMS, right? The way the family courts and the bias that is in the system, how a father can be so easily dismantled and destroyed. And like I said, the family court madness, you've seen it firsthand, is an absolute, people have no idea the madness that goes. They pander to the madness, right? Yeah.
Unless you go through it, you don't know, innit?
It's just, yeah, they don't know. People, even those that, okay, I speak to people now, yeah, this is the reality of it. I speak to people now, yeah.
Yeah.
Once they've seen a few of the podcasts and they've listened to these stories and the madness of it,
yeah,
they're like flipping egg. It's like, how can you be expected to like deal with this? Why is this happening?
Right.
And I'm like, that's exactly my point. We still, even though we knew the courts were biased, until you enter it, this, you know, find you guilty on the balance of probability, you disprove 10 allegations, but the judge on the basis of one allegation where you stood your ground and argued back with her, you're guilty, you're an abuser. People have no idea of literally the madness of it. And now once they've seen some of these podcasts, they said, I didn't realize it was like this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you knew there was a bias, like I did. I knew there were bias, but not to the extent of what we've seen. But and that, like I said, it's the secret family court. It is kept hidden and quiet so they can keep this scam going.
Yeah.
There has to be a day where I think people, you know, rise up and say, enough is enough. Like I said, 200 children lose contact a day. Multiply that 7 days a week, past 20, 30 years. I don't know how there ain't been like a massive march of nothing. There's been nothing, no major event to tackle this. I just can't understand it.
No, that's crazy.
With something this serious as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. And I think, you know, going back to, you know, like what we were talking about with the red flags, we have to really start, you know, creating educational paths for stuff like this for our generations to come, especially the men. Because, you know, even, you know, like we talked about creating some sort of manifesto that allows you to look out for any sort of red flags. I mean, you're not going to pick up on all because, again, it's this thing of, you know, boy and girl meet, infatuation, all this bullshit, basically. And then, you know, they fall in love and then they're like, okay, you know what? Let's move on to the next thingy to get married. And, you know, a lot of things are hidden because, like, how the hell are you going to know how a person is unless you travel with them, you live with them, or I don't know, maybe.
Like, yeah, I agree.
You just
that
don't
would,
know.
Yeah. Right?
And a lot of these things are happening. And then when the time comes and all these red flags start coming up, you think, shit, like, what do I do now? And then when a kid comes along, it's even worse because it's like, what do I do here?
Yeah, they've got you stunning it. But look, you're right. Look, there's many ways to tackle this, obviously. Look.
Yeah.
And I agree that what you've just said has always crossed my mind in the sense that how far can vetting really get you?
Yeah.
How much can you really vet? And even if the mom, dad, family are solid,
yeah.
You don't really know that individual until you live with them, until you go on this journey.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of reducing the risk through various, you know, like for, so let's say you put out this blueprint, you can reduce the risk, but it's never going to be risk-free. That's the reality. So, and then the other thing I'll say is this: in order to, because now look, all the sisters are well versed in the law and know what they can get away with. Yeah.
This
So
is a
my
whole
point
new
is,
generation coming through.
yeah, exactly. So my point is, you don't give up any leverage. So how do you? How can I put it? Look, any couple, any two people working together, yeah, any two people, right, yeah, they'll automatically be a dominant personality and a more submissive personality. It's a human, it's human nature, yeah. So let's say the missus has a dominant personality and you're more of a passive person, yeah. So you've got a submissive personality, you're happy to go with it, yeah. Combine that with what the law has now presented for the one of the genders, being the mothers or the women, yeah, who also has the dominant personality, and she has the full loaded weapon that the law has given her. So, and then let's say after that, you've done a civil, you've given up any leverage. Unless there's genuine love there, if you have to go home and worry about who's dominant, who's in charge or not, you're already in a bad place.
You are, yeah.
If you have to go home and exert authority, you're already in a bad place. Are you with me? You're not with, you're with the wrong, when you're with the right person, these things are never an issue. That's what people have to understand as well, yeah. But what you can do is, like I said, keep some leverage. So if you have some leverage, it may then trigger more submissive traits because they think, well, look, I need to make this work, so let me stick to it. Let me not make, do you see what I'm saying? This is my lot sort of thing. So first thing I would say, and I say to, I've made videos on it, multiple videos on it. Do not do a civil. Once you do a civil registry, you've signed over all leverage, any power, and you've basically told the law, if this goes wrong, this is all 90% hers, I'm out. You've already given it up. So do not do a civil. And if you're being forced into doing a civil, you've already given up leverage. Secondly, make sure you don't have any assets in your name. You're buying an asset, you buy together. If she works, don't fall for this Islamic argument and you have to provide and this and that. No. You're working, we go 50-50. Or you get a few stump up 50%, then we buy a house. When it goes wrong, because you're going to lose 80% anyway as a man. So you put these protections in place. And with the youngsters coming up now, we can make them aware and tell them a father has no rights in the eyes of the law, period. So make sure you take time to spend with your children. Make sure you have time. If she's, you're both working, make sure you have time with drop-offs and pickups and stuff like that. You have time with the kids. You know what I mean? Because that time ain't going to come back if you sacrifice, you know, for work and whatnot. That time ain't coming back. The other red flags that you're talking about, again, like I said, so the family, you vet the family. Now, the problem with these things I've always thought is there's a lot of good actors out there. People, like I said, will make out they're the loveliest people in the world to get it over the line. That's what I'm saying. So that, like I said, you can only vet so much. I think the fact is it is a risk,
It is a risk.
however you look at it. You can eliminate it, but the initial interactions you have, yeah, I would say the only other option is you do a nikah, yeah, do your nikah and have a 2-3 year engagement till you actually say she leaves her parents' home. So you've got that time period to get to know her. She can get to know you. You can get to know each other's personalities and traits. You've got time. Do not jump in, get a house, start a family immediately. No problem. Go on that journey together. And if after 2-3 years of that, while she's still studying, you're working, you're building, she's studying, working, you say to after 2-3 years that, yeah, you know what? I think we're ready for the next step now. Let me leave my parents home. Let's take the next step now. Do you know what I mean?